I'm turning to the two last verses of our reading tonight, the letter of Jude, verse 24 and 25. The letter of Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. My title for this Bible study is simply Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to our great God, but also glory be to God alone. Or if you prefer, praise be to God alone and no one else. Now, the name Jude means praise, actually. It's the same name as Judas. So what do you expect? How should he end his letter? By praising the living God. So this is very important in our world today. So, praise be to God. So, Jude instructs us. He warns us. He calls us also to praise the living God. There are no other letter, maybe except 2 Peter, with such stern warnings. When you hear the letter being read, as we just read, the 25 verses, stern warnings in the letter. But yet, can you see how he ends the letter? With a word of praise. This is a pin of praise, I believe. It is a great doxology. But it is also a sacred and solemn benediction. I believe every word could be in this benediction a sermon. But we will do our best just to sum it up tonight. That's why I said we can look at it as just telling us, glory be to God. Glory be to God. My dear brothers and sisters, sound doctrine. The word sound in the Greek is the word hygienic or hygiene. Healthy doctrine generates spiritual humility. It generates adoration. It generates confession. Sound doctrine should generate in a believer's life dedication, consecration, loyalty, reliability, but also availability. Oh, if only our praise are as loud as our needs, I think there will be a difference in our Christian walk. So Jude is calling us to pray, to praise the living God. But it's not just to be asking, or to be in confession, or to be in adoration all the time. Adoration also means jubilation. It is a paradox for me to see a sad, gloomy, morose, and morbid Christian. I don't see that in the Word of God. The Christian should be the happiest person. Of course, happiness is not to be giggled or to just to have a smile or to be laughing here and there. This is not what I mean. But God is called in the Word of God a happy God. The blessed God, the word blessed, most of the time, means also happy. Why am I saying this? Jude is calling us, yes, that sound doctrine should lead you and me to spiritual humility, to adoration, dedication, consecration, but there must be also jubilation. And this is what this text, these two verses are all about. And be prepared. Because in heaven, there will be worship and praise, incessant, endless praise, day and night. So that's why To some I must say this, I'm saying this to myself, if an hour worshiping the Lord is boring for you, as some people say, it's so boring, then prepare yourself. You cannot cope with 1 hour. How about in heaven, where it will be day and night? Maybe you shouldn't be there at all then, because it will be praises and worship day and night, serving the Lord. So in Judah, verse 24 and 25, I believe there is a good dozen of God's attributes. A dozen of them there. And here we see His divine power. He's a fatherly God. He's a divine person. But also, you can see His shepherding hand, the good hand of God upon the believer. So Jude, I believe, piles up honor after honor to the King of Heaven. So for you and me to know just where I'm going, I have four headings, four main headings. So you know my destination. I will list them for you. They are all from the text, and as we go, I will explain them. The first one, I want to speak about the person of God. The second, I want to speak about the perfect work of God. The third, I want to speak about the all-sufficiency of God. And the fourth one, I want to speak about the promise-keeping God. So, here it is, the first one. The person of God. And here, I want to list for you, from these two verses, seven subheadings. Seven subheadings, just, oh, my desire for you, my dear brothers and sisters, is to bring you closer to the Lord, for you to appreciate the Lord, to love the Lord, to honor the Lord. And in verse 24 and 25 in Jude here, this is speaking about the person of God. I believe it is a rebuke, it is a reproof. And it is a reprimand to all religions, unsaving religions, of course, because there is only one saving religion, by the way. Only one that provides a savior. The person of God. So here is the seven. I will, as I said, every word in this doxology, in this benediction could be a sermon. But for the lapse of time we have before us, let us put them together. So number one, look at the oneness of God. Oneness of God. The text says, unto Him, now unto Him. Who is the Him? Who is that pronoun? Of course, when you look at the verses, this is about God. This is about God. And if you go back to verse 1, look at verse 1. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. And to Him. And in verse 25, you can see that it is the only God. Our Savior. So the hymn there is put for God the Father. But don't stop there. And I will explain it in a moment. Look at verse 4. Look at verse, oh, this is a fanfare. This is a firework, really, about God's attributes there. Or the names of our Savior. Look at it, verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God, number one, unto lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, number two, and our Lord Jesus Christ, number three. Do you see? This man is speaking about God the Father. He is speaking about God the Son. But he is also speaking about God the Holy Spirit. Jude is a Trinitarian. Look at it in verse 20 and 21, where you find all the three persons of the Trinity there. Verse 20, 21. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is there. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. We can insert the Father, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. This man is a Trinitarian. Just in one page. You could read it in less than 5 minutes. Who is this God? The triune God. One God, yet mysteriously three in God. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No Trinity, no salvation. We have to make that point. Can I explain Trinity to you? I can't. Do I believe in it? Yes, I believe in it. Augustine said, believe and you will understand. So there is one God, mysteriously in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the only true and living God. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. He is the invisible God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. He is the invisible God. He is the immortal God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17 also. He is unchanging. The book of Malachi tells us that God cannot change. He changeth not. He is immutable. The immutability of God. He cannot change. We change, but God cannot change. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, there are many religions, but there is only one God who is involved with our salvation, with our justification, with our sanctification, with our resurrection, with our adoption, with our glorification. Only one. So that's number one in speaking about the person of God. Number two, look at it again there in verse 24 and 25. He is not only the one God, the oneness of God, but he is also the only wise God. If you have time later to read Romans 16 verse 27, the same is repeated there. The only wise God. The same is repeated in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. The only wise God. His wisdom is unique. His wisdom is perfect. His wisdom is exceptional. His wisdom is eternal. His wisdom is permanent, perpetual, eternal. He takes no advice from anyone. He takes no counsel from anyone. He takes no help from anyone. He is the self-sufficient God. I think in one of the Psalms, it is said, God is saying, if I'm hungry, will I ask you? Will we provide to God? He doesn't need anything from us, but we get everything from him. Oh, my brothers and sisters, lift up God in your heart and in your mind. Things will be completely different. The only wise God. I think Solomon is a fool before this God. The wisest man who has received so much wisdom. But before the only wise God, he is nothing. He is a fool. And Christ was made wisdom unto us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Through his word, we are made wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, we read in the word of God. How do we see his wisdom? We see his wisdom in creation. Oh, look at the creation. We have lost the wonders, to wonder even, to look. The heavens, Psalm 19, the heavens and the earth declare the glory of God. The only wise God. His wisdom is seen in the gospel. My dear friends, the biggest computer in the world could have not concocted the way of salvation. Who would have thought it? that God himself will come and die in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on a cross. Who could have manufactured that? Who could have even thought about such a wonderful plan? The wisdom of God is visible in the plan of salvation, in the gospel, in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, we have a great God. This is not a small God who is transported by his worshippers. He made us. That's why in Romans chapter 1 we read, we are without excuse. Everything you need to know of God or about God is made visible. Even in your conscience. You know, we try to destroy, to demolish the presence of God in us. But within ourselves, the conscience is telling us, there is God. There is God. But number three. The first one, the oneness of God. Number two, the only wise God. But look at the third one there, that he is able, verse 24, now unto him that is able. I call it the dynamic God, because the word able there in Greek is the word dynamic, the dynamic God, powerful God. He is able, and he combines capacity, ability, credibility, power, willingness, but also reliability. He combines everything to do good to you and to me. He is able. It comes to my mind, Daniel with his friends there in Daniel chapter 3. He said, our God is able to deliver us. He is able. God is able. His power is unlimited. Unlimited power. With power to save and to preserve us in every situation, in every condition. Oh, when my mind is letting me down, I hope it happened to you that sometime your mind is letting you down. When my feelings are not coping anymore, to whom shall I cry? Where should I go? Who will save me from those times when the mind is letting me down and my feelings are letting me down? I don't feel anything. I feel I have never been saved. Does it happen to you? I'm sure it happened to you sometimes. Oh, then I remember what Romans chapter 8 verse 32 says. He who did not spare his only son, but delivered him and gave him up to us all. He gave his son, his only son, for you and me. How come that he will not give you or provide for you what is really needed? Not what you want. I want many things that I really don't need. Oh, my brothers and sisters, God is faithful. He is able. He is able. We believe because God is able. God is able. And number four, look at it. I must hurry because this is only the first element. Verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior. Do you see that? If I lost you, the first one, the oneness of God. The second, the only wise God. The third, the dynamic God. He is able. And the fourth one, verse 25, that he is our Savior. Very personal. It's personal. That's why every believer could say, my Savior. Like old Thomas, we could say, my God and my Lord. We could say that because it becomes personal. He's my Savior. Oh, this Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, who came from heaven to earth to give his life on a rugged tree there at the cross of Calvary. He suffered for his people, for his church. He's the Savior. And in verse 1, I wish I can elaborate on this thing. In verse 1 there, you see, he's not only the Savior, he's also the Sanctifier, and he's the Preserver. He keeps us. He sanctifies his people, and he keeps them. This is our God, the only God, the Savior. He snatched us out of fire. The name Jesus Christ is the dividing line between us and every other religion. My dear friends, I don't know most of you in this room, but may I say something I believe which is so important? Jesus Christ, that is not Savior. He is not the Lord. I believe has never existed. If Jesus Christ is not the Lord and is not the Savior, it's just a hoax. And of no value whatsoever. That's why in Islam, when they say Jesus is just a no, that Jesus never existed. I don't want that Jesus. But he is the Lord. You see, in verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior. Our Savior. The Savior of his people. That was the fourth one. The fifth one, look at, it's all in the text. I invent nothing. Look at it there in verse 24. The keeping God. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. You know, the phonies, the hypocrites will fall away. But God will never drop his people. Never. Or sometime, he has to put upon us his heavy hand. He has to lay his heavy hand upon us because of our own foolishness. But you know, like parents, a parent will allow his child to fall on a carpet, but he will never let him fall off a cliff. The non-believer falls away, but the believer, we may trip, we may stumble, but we will never fall away. That's why when you hear somebody saying to you, I was a Christian. I was. Oh, no, no, that's past tense. I am a Christian. I will always be a Christian by the help of God. Because he said here, you see it now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. He will keep you because he is able. He has power. And without his preserving and sustaining power, you know, I believe without the help of God sustaining, we will do terrible things. That animal part in us will lash out. It will lash out. But God keeps us and protects us. Oh, he intercedes for us. You know, that's the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in heaven. We read it in Romans chapter 8 again, sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us. He interceded for Peter. You remember? Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. But even earlier, before his denial, the Lord Jesus Christ said to him in the Gospel of Luke, I prayed for you. I prayed for you. And when you come back to the faith, rescue your brothers. And that's why when the Lord Jesus Christ met him again in John chapter 21, you know the text, do you love me? Do you love me? And the Lord said to him, feed my lamb. He's praying for you. He paid the price. He paid such an astronomical price, such an exorbitant price, such a great price. How would he forget you? A mother can forget her child. It could happen, rarely, it's very seldom, but the Lord will never forget one of his children. You know what he said in Romans chapter 8, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, verse 28, 29, he said there, no man can pluck us out of his hand. No man, no angel, no power, no demon, no Satan. Well kept. But look at the sixth one. He's the judge. He's the judge. When you read through Jude here, I just give you the verses. You can read them for yourself later. Verse 5, verse 7, verse 13, verse 15. All these verses are speaking about God's judgment upon the people who deny the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to judge them. One day, God will take vengeance upon all his foes, upon all his enemies, upon all his opponents. and they shall be judged by the living God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, you know the passage, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us, without exception, no exemption on that day, we shall appear. So God is the judge also, Jude tells us. But the last one is the everlasting God. The everlasting God at all times, for all times, in all times. Look at it here in verse 25. Both now and ever. He's the God of the past. He's the God of the present. He's the God of the future. He was, he is, and he will always be. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Always. My dear friends, the God who saved you, the God who saved you is the same. He saved you today, and he will continue to save you until the day of Christ. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. God who has begun this good work in you. God doesn't do things halfway. We do that halfway. We start something, we leave it halfway. But God doesn't do that. What he started, he will certainly finish it. So, remember those seven elements about the person of God. Number one, the oneness of God. Number two, the wisdom of God, the only wise God. The third, the power. God is able. In Ephesians chapter 3, we read that he is able to give more than what we can think and ask. He is able. The fourth one, he is the Savior, our Savior. The fifth one, he is going to judge the whole world. The sixth one, he is the keeping God. He keeps his children. And the seventh one, he is the everlasting God. I haven't left time to tell you about the three other points, but I will try the second one. The perfect work of God. That's the second heading, main heading. And what is that perfect work of God? Look at it here. Oh, this is wonderful. In verse 24. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless, to present you. God intends not only to save us, not only to preserve us, but also to present us. There will be a day of presentation. A day when Jesus Christ will present every one of his sheep to God the Father in heaven. Oh, what a day. What a great day it will be. And actually, you know the Greek word there to present, verse 24, to keep you from falling and to present you. The word there really means to make you stand. That's the Greek word, to make you to stand. Who dares to stand before the King of Kings? I have no time to turn to the verses, but later you can read Psalm 24 verse 3. Malachi chapter 3 verse 2. Revelation chapter 6 verse 18. Why am I telling you these verses? In every one of these verses there is a question. Who can stand? Who can stand before God? Who can stand in his holy place? It is here. The answer is here. That God is going not only to save you, not only to preserve you, not only to keep you, but he is going to present you one day to the living God. The church of Jesus Christ will be officially and publicly presented. There will be an official and a public presentation. Just imagine when the athletes, they won the race and they hear their name being pronounced publicly and officially. You can see they are a bit proud there. But in heaven there will be no place for any pride, because you are there because God wanted you to be there. There will be that presentation. In verse 21, Jude verse 21, we keep ourselves in his love. Because he keeps us standing. He keeps us standing. And that is wonderful to know that the Lord is keeping us standing. Some of us, we only dream to stand before the mighty men of this world. Queens, kings, prime ministers. We dream. Even some of the so-called stars of this world, we dream to give them a handshake. Do you know that to have a meal with Richard Dawkins, it cost a fortune? In his circle of reality, miracle reality circle, there is a subscription for members. I don't invent it. You can check it. There is a subscription. If you are a member, there is a fee to pay. If you want a monthly subscription, there is a fee to pay. There is an annual, a yearly fee to pay. And if you pay that yearly fee, you can have a meal with it. Somebody who denies God, I don't dream to have a meal with him. But that's the cost. And people are willing. But for us to have a supper with our Savior, free access. My dear friends, God has nothing to sell. He is a giver. In Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, you know the passage. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I stand." What did he say at the end? "If any man hears my voice," if you open the door to let the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith come into your life, there is dinner every day, supper every day with him, free of charge. Oh, my dear friends, God has this protecting love upon every one of his children. The perfect work of God. Do you see what the verse says? He will present you faultless, which means blameless, spotless, as if you have never sinned in your life. That's the promise we are receiving from the living God. And God will always keep his promises. Titus 1 verse 2 we read, God cannot lie. He cannot lie. He cannot die. He cannot lie. In 2 Peter 1 verse 4, he has given us great and precious promises. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20, all God's promises are yea and amen for us in Christ Jesus. But he is also, thirdly, the all-sufficient God. And the all-sufficiency of God is expressed for us in four words. I just read for you the four words. You can study them later. They are here in verse 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be, here is the first one, glory, majesty, dominion, and power. And the last one, my foreheading, is about the God who keeps his promises. The promise-keeping God. And that power of keeping his promises is expressed for us in one word. You don't often like to hear that word, or we don't read that word, but it's the word Amen. Please don't overlook that word Amen. Every book of the New Testament except three ends with the word Amen. Christ is the Amen. He is the faithful one. And this is for you and me. God cannot lie. He is our Amen. So Jude verse 24 and 25. Maybe tonight you are at the crossroad. You don't know what the future holds. Nobody knows. But Jude 24 and 25 is our preservation, our assurance, our possession, our praise, our God. How great thou art. Let's close our time together with our last hymn, hymn number 448. Hymn number 448. We praise and bless thee, gracious Lord.